Welcome to the Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista, where we chat with industry leaders and get their take on the challenges facing the market. And maybe we'll have a little fun along the way. In this week's episode of the Marketing Stir podcast, Aaron Goldman, Chief Marketing Officer at MediaOcean, joins AJ and Vincent to discuss the changing landscape of the marketing world, catering campaigns to different target demographics, and creating effective strategies on the global, national, and regional levels.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Stirista's The Marketing Stir. I am your happy host, Vincent Petrofessa, the Vice President of B2B Products and Partnerships at Stirista. Thank you so much for listening. I was just at a conference last night, a little marketing event, and people there, listeners, like, I love your podcast. So that's always nice to hear. It's great. Thank you for all the, you know, warm messages that you are sending us. Let's talk about Stirista for like 17 seconds, not even. Who are we? We're a marketing technology company. We own our own B2B data, B2C data. We also help customers access that data through our own technology, our own email sending platform, our own demand side platform. We help you get customers. Email me, vincent@stirista.com. That is how confident I am. I just gave you my email address, and boy, are you using it for the right reasons? It's okay, but you're listening. That's what I care about. The other thing I care about very much, 15 years I knew this gentleman. He's got a birthday coming up. Not yet, but a very special birthday. He'll tell you it's 30. It's not, but we will be out there celebrating very soon his birthday, maybe by the time this comes out, my co-host. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. AJ Gupta. What's going on, AJ?
Hey, Vincent. Yeah, looking forward to celebrating my 30th again.
You're like one of those, you know, you're like one of that Real Housewives of like Beverly Hills. It's like they're 29 for like 17 years.
Yeah. 28 was no longer believable. So I've moved it up to 30 now. So,
but we still look vibrant. You know, you're a few years younger than me. Although someone asked me last night, they're like, is AJ younger than you? I said, yes, he is.
I don't buy that.
Yeah, shout out to Chet Delzell. He's the one who asked me, the president of the marketing club in New York. He did, but no, I think he was just more curious, and I turned it into something about me. Of course, as people who know me, I often do, but AJ, it's good to see you. Bright shirt. You're happy today. What's good? What's good in San Antonio?
Yeah, it's spring break week. So my daughter has been dying to go to work with me. So right after this podcast, I'm going to take her into the office for the first time. So she is looking forward to being a future intern at Stirista.
Nice. I better be nice to her, because her and your son might be my boss one day. So tell him Vincent, you know, Uncle Vincent said hello. And, you know, that's awesome. Yeah, spring break. Ours is coming up later on here in New York later in April, but that is awesome. You know, that's great. Bring your kids to work.
Yeah, she's six and she has decided she wants to work at Stirista and be a mom. Those are two life goals she has.
That's not bad. Hey, nothing wrong with that. That's amazing. You know, again, I'll probably still be here, right? And she'll be my boss. That's why I'm always nice to those kids. I know. No, I'm kidding. I'm nice to them just because I'm a nice person, AJ. You know, and let's talk about our guest, also a nice person. You know, everyone who listens to the podcast knows my age because I talk about it a lot. And I always reference something, right? You hear me always reference the class of 96. That's when I graduated high school. I don't even know if he wanted me to shout him out about that. But I always have those extra bonds with people from the Northeast. He's not from the Northeast, but he's also class of 96. Those are the extra bonds that people get from me on this podcast. But it's an awesome guy. He is, always around the different conferences. You can see him there. I'm curious to see what conferences he's going to attend so people could see him. But MediaOcean is here, ladies and gentlemen. Have you heard of him? I've heard of them. That's why they're on the podcast. He's the Chief Marketing Officer of MediaOcean. Warm welcome. Class of 96, Aaron Goldman, what's going on?
All right, thanks for having me. Hey, Vincent, hey, AJ.
What's good? Is that okay? I shouted you out. You know, look how young you look. We both look young. If you looked way older, I would never have said it.
Yeah, all good. I'm proud. It was a great year for someone growing up in Chicago in the 90s. Kind of, couldn't have been a better time. Michael Jordan and the Bulls. And so So formative years, and now here we are, and I'm excited to chat with you. Although I should apologize right off the bat. I talk really fast. I listen to podcasts at 2x speed. Let me tell you, you haven't lived unless you've heard AJ at 2x speed. So for all the listeners out there, maybe they want to chug a Celsius and get on our level, or maybe they just need to dial me back to, you know, 0.75 or something. But either way, looking forward to conversation.
I hope you don't listen to me on 2x speed, because that will kill somebody. That's crazy. Me, I'm always, I'm a fast talking New Yorker. I talk with my hands. So I'm used to it. That's funny.
I'm going to have to try to keep up in this one, imagining people are listening at 2x.
That's awesome. Yeah, Aaron, you're right. Like in the 90s, man, what a time. That's how I, a native New Yorker my entire life, became a Bulls fan. And I'm still a Bulls fan. You know, my sons, I have an almost 7 and almost 4-year-old. I'm like, basketball, that's on you guys. You want to like the Knicks, you want to like the Nets, that's it. I won't put the Bulls on you because it's Chicago. Michael Jordan's no longer there. You know, you have to like my other teams. That's a rule, or else you're not coming to anything with me. But yeah, what a time, I would imagine, in growing up, especially at our age.
Although I'd say, you know, from that respect, sort of peaked early. You know, it's kind of all been downhill since there. So that, you know, been living in the glory days for quite some time.
Aaron, let's talk about MediaOcean. Let's get that out. I know MediaOcean. Very familiar with them. Talk about your role. Obviously, chief marketing officer, you know, sometimes not always, you know, exactly what people think. You're usually doing a variety of different things. Talk about your role and MediaOcean.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess speaking of the glory days, if we even dial it back maybe another 30 years from the 90s, so 1960s is when the company was started. And if you've watched the show Mad Men, there's this kind of pivotal episode in, I think, like season 6 or 7 that is kind of loosely based on MediaOcean's origin story. So it's the Sterling Cooper Agency. It's Don Draper. It's, you know, the creatives rule the day. It's TV, radio, and print, and that's it. And, you know, the creatives have all the power. And then there's this this moment where Draper's going through one of his many, you know, sort of relapse type situations, and he walks in, and there's this massive computer that has taken over the creative lounge. They kind of wheeled in this big computer, and he's staring at this monstrosity. And, you know, it's kind of this moment where, like, they're sort of foreshadowing how tech is going to kind of take over this industry, and media for that matter too. You know, you kind of used to have Harry Crane was kind of relegated to the basement, and all the creatives had, you know, the prime offices. And so that's loosely based on our founder, Michael Donovan, who in 1967 sort of wheeled the first computer into the agency. And he basically built the backend infrastructure that's still used to this day. And of course, over the years, we've expanded a lot from TV, radio, and print, you know, through the, whether it's, you know, instead of cable. And of course, the internet blew everything up. And now you've got mobile and social and AR and VR and AI, oy vey. And so, you know, MediaOcean had expanded to accommodate each of those. And now we do everything from TV to TikTok. And in some ways, we've almost come full circle in that creative is now kind of back, front, and center. And, you know, media and tech are still critically important, but creative has kind of reemerged as this critical variable, because you have all these things going on that I'm sure we can get into, whether it's privacy regulation or cookie deprecation, a lot of these like signals that we've relied on for the last 10, 20 years to target our ads and bid the exact right price for every impression. These things are going away. And so we're back to, you know, running sports ads to sports fans. And so the creative is what's going to separate you in that environment. Of course, the one thing that thankfully we left in the 60s is the Don Draper types and the bad behavior. And so now you've got, you know, and certainly more things like AI come into play. And so that's kind of where we are. My role here at MediaOcean is leading marketing globally. So we're a global company. We're sort of a house of brands under the MediaOcean umbrella. We've done a lot of acquisitions. I actually joined through an acquisition in 2020. The company I was at was 4C, and I was the CMO there as well. But essentially, I like to think of what I do as marketing to marketers. So it's classic B2B marketing, and my target audience, our main, you know, sort of customer is the CMO or the office of the CMO or the agency that the CMO and the marketing teams are using. So, you know, in some ways it's great because I have this innate sort of insight in the head of the customer because I am that person. So if a message or a piece of collateral or a marketing campaign sort of passes muster with me, it'll likely resonate with the audience too. But on the flip side, as we all know, marketers are a finicky bunch, right? They don't suffer fools. They're busy folks. They're sick of buzzwords. So you kind of have to be very clear. You have to be very clever. And so that's a lot of what my team is focused on, is just how do we stand out in this sea of sameness and bring to light the value prop. And of course, all the classic sort of marketing roles, demand gen, PR, communications. We do a lot of events, content marketing, et cetera. So a little bit of everything, but as you can tell, I enjoy it.
Yeah, no, definitely. That you're very passionate about it. I'm sure the listeners can hear that and those who are watching can see that. You know, in your role, Aaron, I want to talk to you first about, well, you know, later how you got into marketing. It's one of our questions that people love, the origin story. But in your role, are you, you know, marketing Media Ocean? Because I know Media Ocean does a lot of, you know, you said marketing services. However, you're not assisting with the customers. You're helping get the customers for Media Ocean. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. So a lot of our customer set, our key segment, these are large enterprise advertisers and their ad agencies. So it's not a massive universe. There's, you know, we're talking thousands of customers, not tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. And for the most part, we know who these folks are. And so a lot of what we do is account-based marketing, or as we call it, AB, account-based everything. And so it's about not just bringing these new customers in, because at some point you've kind of got all the big advertisers, then it's about growing them. Well, keeping them, you know, keeping them happy and then growing them, finding additional things to layer in to the stack that we provide to them so that they can grow with us. And that's ultimately where my focus is both in terms of net new customers and growth from current customers.
And how did you get started in this business?
So, I mean, I've always loved marketing, advertising. You know, growing up, I was the kid singing all the jingles. And any Chicagoans out there will remember the Empire commercial, 588-2300 Empire. And so, you know, that was me. I loved the commercials. Back then, there was no way to skip them. So you just had to sit through them. I had fun with it. And then I went to school. I went to University of Illinois, actually for journalism. I love to write. I still do. And my first semester, I just sort of got sick of writing papers every week. And I said, all right, well, what else can I do with some of these credits that I'm already enrolled in? And they had the College of Communications at the time had two majors, journalism and advertising. So I switched over to advertising, spent the rest of my time in college, both studying it and working for the Daily Illini newspaper in an advertising sales role. And I came out of school. I still kind of always had that passion for creative. I kind of, my dream job was, you know, to work at Leo Burnett in Chicago and you know, work on creative, but those aren't jobs you get right out of school. The offer I got actually within the Leo Burnett family was to work for Starcom, which was their media group. And in particular, it was, you sort of go through a onboarding process and then they slot you out. There's sort of no telling what account you might end up on or frankly what media you might work in. And I was really gung-ho. This was 2000 now when I graduated. I was like, all right, the internet is coming up. We kind of know this is sort of the next big wave for technology and media and advertising. I really wanted to specialize in that. I just knew that, you know, there was going to be growth there. And Starcom couldn't like guarantee me that I'd end up working in their internet group at the time. The other offer I had was for a company named L90, which was an online advertising network, kind of web 1.0 way of doing ads online, the banner ads, the pop-up ads, the pop-under ads. We were pretty tricky with those. And so I took that job and never looked back. So I've been in sort of in and around the digital marketing space ever since in different roles. I kind of started my career in sales, but for the advertising, online advertising group. And then after about 4 or 5 years there, the company got bought and sold about 4 or 5 times. At the end of the run, it was IAC was the owner, had been Ask Jeeves, the Excite Network, I1. So a lot of Web1 brands there. And then from there, I went to Resolution Media, which was an ad agency that we started in Chicago and sold to Omnicom. So I had some agency time, also still in and around marketing and online advertising. Spent a couple of years doing my own thing. I started a company called Connectual, wrote a book called Everything I Know About Marketing I Learned from Google, which was fun and frankly still the case. I've learned a few more things, but Google's still central there. After that was when I started to specialize in marketing. So I took a CMO role for a company called Kenshu. They're now called Sky, but they're a large player in the ad tech space. And from there, I went to 4C, which got acquired by Mediaocean. And here I am today.
Aaron, love the story, especially the background with the computers and the pop-up ads. When I was a teenager, that's when I had a website and I was selling ads right before the exchanges came along. It was basically for $500, I'll put you a banner on the top type thing. So definitely can relate.
Yeah. And just to think of how far we've got, like how crude the placements were back then. To your point, it was, you know, you would get a placement. It would be a fixed placement. It would be the same ad that would run. Maybe afterwards you might, you know, send someone a report. Maybe if they were lucky to tell them, you know, how many page views that ad got. And so obviously we've come a long way.
So fast forward to today. How do you keep up with the trends? Things are changing so rapidly in our industry. And how do you keep the strategies fresh and engaging for different age groups?
Yeah, I think there's a couple ways that I try to stay active and keep up. Part of it is just myself as a consumer of the different technologies and new platforms. You know, I'm not the TikTok demo, but I have an account. I waste more time than I'd like to admit on the platform. And my family too. So I've got, you know, three kids. So I kind of keep an eye on how they interface with technology and what type of media and advertisements they gravitate towards and which ones they can't stand. And we actually did something fun for Mediaocean. We ran a Super Bowl ad, a local spot. And as part of that, we did an extended cut of the ad because 30 seconds, wow, that goes by fast. And by the way, we did the local spot because we don't have a $7 million marketing budget for 30 seconds of national airtime. So we found a local market. We did Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we cut together a spot. It's pretty cool. We can, you know, share it out with folks maybe in the show notes or something. But we basically recorded a Zoom call talking about running a Super Bowl ad. Like, hey, how do we get the word out? You know, it's just us in an internal meeting on Zoom, which is something that, again, back to our audience of CMOs and marketers, everyone can relate to being on that Zoom call. And we're talking about it. We say, oh, well, you know, we could, what should we do to get the word out? We could buy a Super Bowl ad. Well, what would that cost? Of course, we then use our own technology to look and see what would it cost and can we find a spot? So it's a subtle plug for Mediaocean. And then we say, well, all right, well, what should we do with the creative and for the ad? And we say, well, we could just say that, you know, this was for Flash Talking, which is one of our key ad tech brands. We say, well, we could just say that Flash Talking unleashes the power of creative. Then Bill Wise, our CEO, says, yep, that's the line. And then he closes with, I got to tell you, this ad could have been an email. And that's kind of like the punchline. And then so the 30 seconds and only so many people in Fort Wayne, Indiana and are going to see the ad, although as part of our account-based marketing strategy, there's a couple key clients that are based there, one in financial services, one in automotive. So there was some method to the madness. But then, of course, we put it online, and then we did the extended blooper reel. And we had a lot of fun on that Zoom call, kind of joking and doing other things. And we had I had my kids who were really excited that daddy was working on a Super Bowl ad, give me some things. I was like, give me some things that, you know, the kids these days are saying, like, hey, if we were to put this ad on TikTok, like what should we say? And they say, well, you know, you should talk about the Riz and you should talk about Skibidi, Ohio. And these are like, back to your question about like, how do I keep up on these things? Well, that was it. And so then we started bantering about these things in the outtakes and bloopers that we posted from the ad. And then of course we cut the spot down and now we're running it on TikTok as well. And so a lot of it is just being open to it and having some fun and not taking everything so seriously in that, like, you have to perfect it before you try it. All right. So it's testing, tiptoeing into things, just being agile and open, I would say, is probably the right ethos.
I have to say, TikTok is a great resource for kind of keeping up with the Gen Z lingo. I would have never known what mid and riz and all these words meant without TikTok. So
100%. Although AJ, I will say you are definitely the Wizard of Oz. So put that on your LinkedIn profile right after your title.
That's the first time he's ever heard that. About...
yeah. Vincent is dying over there. It's like, what am I?
I was at, and you have another question, AJ, but I was doing a show the other night and there was like, some 20 something year old was like, you got that riz. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know, I thought he was talking about that actor Riz Ahmed. Like I look like that dude. But yeah.
Oh, okay. They probably thought I was the one doing the show.
Dude, that was you. Yeah, I know. You have more charisma than me. That is a first, AJ. I love that.
So, Aaron, one more question along kind of the lines of changing landscape. I know you guys do a lot of work globally as well. So how different is it when you're strategizing specific to a country versus, you know, locally in the U.S.?
It's very different. For example, Riz might not translate in other markets, both literally and figuratively. So what we try to do, we have a platform where some key elements of our messaging, some key elements of our value prop are global, and we know this will carry everywhere. And then from there, as you cascade down, both by region and then individual country, we customize, or as the Brits say, we make it bespoke to their language, and even down to, like, again, back to British English, changing some of the Z's to S's, right? It's not optimization, it's optimization. and so just trying to be mindful of that is really important. I think a big part of my job in marketing for this company is as much internal comms as it is external. So also for our teams in each of those regions and engaging with them in ways that we know are going to be meaningful and frankly, respectful to local context is important. There's also then tactical elements, right? When it comes to like how you manage data, obviously there's much more strict regulations in Europe. There's even more now coming from the EU with things like the Digital Markets Act and the Digital Services Act. So we have to be mindful of that in our tactical execution to make sure that, as just a basic example, like the pop-up that you get when you come to any of our websites that asks for cookie consent, right? Depending on where we detect that you're coming from, there's going to be different defaults that we can set. And so we try to take there's no one size fits all approach. We try to take a least common denominator approach and say, okay, if something's going to work for the most strict use case, then it's likely going to work everywhere else. And as we've seen here in the US, typically 2, 3, 4, 5 years after something gets rolled out in the EU, along the privacy lines, it ends up coming here. So you can never prepare too early.
And Aaron, let's go back to your kids as a focus group. That's so funny. What, is that the only time you did it? What, are you talking to them often? If so, like what has allowed you to hear them and then change some of your marketing approach?
Well, I would say really once the pandemic started and I moved to working from home, and they were, for those periods doing e-learning at school, it just, literally there were no walls between us. And so they would see what I'm doing on my Zoom calls. They finally got a sense for like what I actually do. And although they think that like, I just do Zoom calls for a living and I have to explain, no, like there's more that's happening here. But they, would start asking questions. They also, they're 16, and then I got twin 13-year-olds. So, when you think about the past 5 years of development, they're also starting to think about, things that they're interested in and stuff. And so they took more of an interest. And yeah, they would, just jokingly come up and say, oh, I have a great idea for it. Or they'd also overhear me on these calls, talking about these things. And besides coming back to me at the end of the day with the report card on how many F-bombs I dropped on my calls today, they would also tell me, oh, I've got a great idea for Mediaocean, or I heard you talking about Flash talking. Like, what about the Flash Marvel movie? Or maybe it's DC. They'd be upset if I got that one wrong. But they just started engaging it, and it just sort of became a little more natural. And certainly as we started to scale down, both in terms of our target audience for Mediaocean, but also our customers who are trying to market to Gen Z, being able to ask them and just sort of look over their shoulder when they're scrolling through and see like if they stop on an ad, or to hear them over the dinner table telling me about these, we have to buy this thing. You know, I saw it on TikTok and everybody has it. And it's called a Stanley Cup. I'm like, these things have been around for like these big bulky, like, wait, what? So yeah, just having that open dialogue has been fun. And they've just gotten more, I think, naturally interested. I think marketing is also one of those things too, for better or worse. Everyone thinks they can do it. And that goes from your kid to your CEO. And so, so they, you know, you can share, you don't have to be, you know, it's not like an engineering role where unless you can, you know, speak code, you're not going to be able to offer any suggestions to an engineer. But as a marketer, like, it's really easy for kids to engage and kind of, you know, give me ideas or reciprocally me ask for feedback because it's just a little more accessible.
Yeah, no, definitely makes sense. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, is there a tactic in marketing that always surprises you on its effectiveness?
Personalization, which seems like so obvious, but yet is still so underutilized, is probably the biggest tactic. And you can think about your own experiences or maybe stuff you've worked on with customers, where whether it's an ad itself, it could be an email, it could be a piece of collateral that gets sent, you know, maybe from a salesperson to a customer or a prospect. Just that added element of personalizing it makes all the difference. For us, Flash Talking is a creative personalization platform. And so we've invested a lot in this and it essentially, wherever you're running a piece of creative, we can take all the different signals that are available to make the message personalized. And in so doing, you know, when we run studies and look at it and say, okay, you know, the non-personalized ads, what did they get in terms of view rate or click rate or conversion rate? And then compare that to personalized, there's always a massive delta. And yet, you know, I think we ran a study and showed almost 90% of all advertising is now personalized today. So to me, as they say, the message is the medium, right? We're getting, the lines are blurred now. Consumers move fluidly from screen to screen, from channel to channel, from now VR headset to VR headset. And what's going to engage and capture that precious mindshare and attention is something that's going to be relevant to them. And so taking the time to set the things up so that when you're in that moment and have that opportunity to present your message in a personalized way, that's everything. That's what separates the wheat from the chaff in our space.
Things we focus on here is data, and would love to know how MediaOcean is using data.
Yeah, we use data for pretty much everything we do. From our marketing, a lot of, as I mentioned, almost everything we do is account-based marketing. And so what we're doing is taking the information we have about what's a pretty narrow set of customers and prospects, and then deploying that out through our different channels, again, to personalize that message. But also MediaOcean as a platform for customers to run their own advertising. There's a number of different ways that the data comes into play throughout the process of planning your ad campaigns all the way through to executing them and then measuring them and ultimately paying for them. And so what we've done is created essentially an open data marketplace. So you can bring in your own data. If you as a marketer have first party data, that's really important. You bring that in, and then as you're creating your plans across the different channels, you can say, all right, where am I most likely to reach the audience segments that I care about? Then when it comes to creating the ads, we kind of talked about the personalization aspect. A lot of that is data driven. Then when it comes to delivering the ads and deciding how much should I pay for that spot or how much should I pay for that placement is ultimately another data driven segment. And then when it comes to the measurement, today there's a number of different ways to measure the ads. It's not like, you know, back to the Mad Men days where it was, you know, Nielsen ratings, and that was about it. Now there's a number of different ways to measure success and ultimately your business outcomes. And at each step along the way, there's different signals and different data points and different data providers that we need to be able to stitch together. There's no one single source of truth, but what we want to do is be interoperable across all of them so that no matter what a marketer might need to do at each step of that journey, they have it accessible.
And Aaron, this is always a challenging one, even internally here. How do you kind of measure yourself? What are the marketing goals you look for? Is it the number of leads? Is it conversion? Would love to hear your insights on it.
Yeah. So we have one metric to rule them all. We serve as our North Star, but then under that, there's kind of different KPIs depending on the campaign or the program or the goal that we're trying to do. But ultimately, we roll everything up to a marketing influence score. And we look at of the revenue, the new revenue that has been driven for the company, what percent of that was marketing influenced? And then, of course, there's an attribution model because not all influence is created equal, right? If they just happen to open one of our emails, we can't, you know, say, oh, well, we should get full credit for, you know, that customer converting. Or if they happen to, you know, click on one of our search ads, and that was the initial point of engagement with the customer, that's maybe a little bit of a higher score because arguably, you know, they could have clicked on a competitor or not clicked at all. But our business is, it's a long sales cycle. You're talking 6 to 18 months. From when you first engage with a prospect to actually then the contract is signed and the revenue starts to be onboarded. And there's multiple touch points along that period where marketing can have an influence. And our job is to make sure that we're doing as much as we can within that window to not just bring that potential customer in, but sort of nurture them along the way and kind of meet them where they are in their journey with us. And then even after they become a customer, as I mentioned, there's growth opportunities. So we're looking for ways, how can we do more with them? How can we grow the account? How can we get them to adopt more pieces of our stack? And so that marketing engagement continues and we look at that full life cycle. And then ultimately we can get to sort of like a lifetime value metric. So there's kind of customer acquisition cost for the new customer. There's full lifetime value off the time that a customer is with us. And then that's sort of the macro. And then the micro is just individual scores that we take because not every marketing influence is created equal, but we roll that all up. And then we hold ourselves to a benchmark of just getting better each month, each quarter, each year. There's no magic number that we're shooting for. We just want to keep showing improvement.
That's awesome. Now, Aaron, this is more of the, we have a LinkedIn question. Then we start getting into the personal side of who you are. Now, feel free. One of the things I know about you, and I saw videos and of you at conferences, you were rapping back answers. You were like, as in like flowing your answers back. Look, feel free to rap some answers back or not. Look, I know as a comedian, everyone always wants me to tell them a joke, tell them a joke, tell them a joke. And I'm like, man, really? But feel free. I'm going to ask you a few questions. Answer them normally, you know, throw in some rhymes if you want. But you talked about this before. As a marketer, you're always looking for, like, if something comes across your desk, you know, virtual desk, digital desk, right? That resonates with you. So our LinkedIn question that we must ask every guest, if we don't, if we miss one, people will come up to us and say, why did you miss that? I'm like, take it easy, Peter. This is one where a LinkedIn message that resonates with you, also one that you hate.
All right. Well, let's. I will take the bait and see if I can conjure up my inner rapper here. Yo, yo, it's AG in the place to be, and I'm happy to see you here with me, my man Vincent. AJ, hey, hey, what's the way? I don't even know, but today is a good day. When you're chatting at 2x speed, you never, never, never know what you're gonna need. The whole podcast goes by in a blur, but that's what happens on the Marketing Stir. Now, LinkedIn, yo, that's a place for me. It's a place for everyone, especially B2B. The messages that tend to break through are the ones that you don't even know are for you because they are personalized in a way and they come from a connection who's 1 degree away, maybe 2 degrees, maybe 3, maybe 4. But the thing that matters even more is that they came from someone you know, because if you don't know, then you ain't getting through and then you just have to drop it down. And that's what we're gonna do. Respect.
Nice. Good job, Aaron. I love it. I love it. And yeah, and relevant to what people are, you know, on LinkedIn. I love it. I love it.
You know, it's true though. Like if I don't know, there's no way to get through to me on an email. It really has to come from a trusted connection. I mean, that's what the platform's for is to allow you to work off those connections. And so if you can find someone, what was the old expression, right? It's not who you know, it's who knows you. I'd argue with LinkedIn, it's who you know that knows who you want to know. Right. So find that person who can get you in the door with a trusted referral and you'll have a much better chance of hearing back.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, no, I think, you know, what's been recently in males, and it kind of like piqued my interest once, where they mentioned my college in the subject line. And then, but I'm seeing it more and more and more. And I'm like, it's like Vincent, State University of New York at Oswego. I'm like, oh man. I'm like, that's, you know, no one calls it the entire name, you know? It's crazy.
And if you're going to do like, personalization is important, like we talked about, but don't be lazy about it, right? Like it's LinkedIn, you can see the college they went to, you can see their interests, like work a little bit, show that like you did your research, like come at them with something that couldn't have been found on LinkedIn. I actually had a sales rep reach out to me and said, hey, Aaron, I know you like to do trick shots. I made this video for you of me doing a trick shot. I was like, oh, all right, I'll bite, you know? And I watch a video and it's this, you know, this dude at his desk and he, you know, takes a piece of paper and like throws it over his shoulder and it lands in the wastebasket behind him. And he had, you know, some message about, sure enough, it was an account-based marketing platform. Imagine that. But you know what? I took the call. It was cool. I respected the grind on that and it paid off. We didn't end up doing business, but I became a marketing qualified lead for him.
That's awesome. You know, and then before I get into your hobbies, I want to get back to something. You did a local Super Bowl commercial as an ABM campaign to those potential clients in Indiana, right? Did it work? Do you want to mention who those clients are? If they still haven't worked, maybe they're listening to the Marketing Stir and I will shout them out.
Lincoln Financial, General Motors. We're here for you. We actually also ran a billboard across from their offices and the whole billboard said this ad could have been an email. So we were kind of trying to like get that catchphrase in a few different places and, you know, practice what we preach with being omnichannel.
I love it. So Lincoln Financial, General Motors, reach out to Aaron Goldman if you're listening to this podcast. And you may be. We have a lot of great people, a lot of great brands listening to this podcast. Give him a shout out. So, Aaron, what do you like doing in your spare time? You know, instead, just rooting for, you know, the Chicago Bulls that have not been great in about 30 years. You know, talk to me about that. Blackhawks, you got the new rookie kid, Bedard. What else? What are you doing with the kiddos there? Do they even want to hang out with dad anymore?
No, they do. I'm cool, dad. The best moment I had, I was driving carpool, and one of the kids asked if they could plug in their phone and put it in, and up came right off the bat like an explicit rap track, and he kind of like fumbled at it. He was gonna like unplug the cord. He was sorry, and then my son goes, "Oh, it's okay. My dad's a G."
Yeah.
But, oh, all right. That's the best.
I love it.
But yes, when I'm not obsessing over my marketing influence score, which I think, by the way, thanks for the plug on those clients that we're pursuing. Marketing Stir might not come up now in one of my attribution reports. I mentioned the trick shots, but yeah, I love to do trick shots. It's something that my kids get involved with. We got a basketball hoop out front and we'll just go and mess around, you know, behind the back, off the backboard. A callback to the Jordan and Bird days, if you remember the McDonald's commercial where they were playing horse and it was like, all right, you know, top row of the stadium, off the baseline.
Well, Larry Bird, remember that one? Yeah.
Nothing but net, right? So yeah, inspired by that. I actually have a YouTube channel, Jude Perfect. So it's Dude Perfect with a J. I like to call myself the Jewish Dude Perfect. So you can see some of the trick shots that I've done. And that keeps us busy, keeps the kids engaged, and then also helps me sharpen some of my own marketing and TikTok skills as well.
That's awesome. Aaron, it's been an absolute pleasure. This has been great. You got that Riz. Who would have thought AJ's got that Riz? Double Riz for AJ. The celebrity, people coming up to him at trade shows now, it makes me sick, but I'm kidding. I love it. This has been amazing. That's Aaron Goldman, the CMO of Media Ocean. That's my CEO. I'm just Vincent. This has been another episode of The Marketing Stir. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to The Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista. Please like and subscribe. If you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, please email us at themarketingstir@stirista.com.